To wade through some of the political fallout over the admissions on faulty intelligence, the continuing military challenges in Iraq, and other developments this week, we turn once again to our team of political analysts, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks, senior editor at The Weekly Standard. Good to talk to both of you again.
And you too.
Good to be here.
This question of what the White House knew and when they knew it seems to be the story that will not go away. It's like a brush fire, and every time they step out and try to explain this, it's like providing more kindling for the fire. David, what's the path forward for the Bush team here?
Well, the Bush administration came out today and say they properly vetted the speech. So far, there's no evidence of deception. Now, the Democrats are saying it's a lie. To me, there's no evidence of that. And the evidence for the American people is, so far, they don't buy the Democrat case. Most Americans, 70%, think it's worthwhile to have our troops in there, that Bush basically did the right thing.
EJ, deception or honest mistake? How does this play with the American public?
Well, in fact, the American public is showing more and more doubts about what the administration says. I think David is being a trifle compassionate here, but he is a compassionate sort of conservative. The CBS News poll that just was released on Thursday showed that the proportion of Americans who approve of the way the president's handling Iraq fell from 72% to 58%. And for the first time, a majority now, 56%, says the administration overestimated the number of weapons of mass destruction. I think the administration has really lost its Teflon. The president is not going to get a free ride anymore. And on Iraq, Democrats are unified in a way they weren't before, because even Democrats who supported the war said, we've got to worry about the aftermath. Maybe we should think about allies. And the critiques are remarkably similar. So I think we've seen a sea change this week.
With the White House on the defensive in this case, it does seem that the Democrats really are taking the offensive. They're finding their voice.
There's no question the Bush administration has been on the defensive. But they would say it's a question of proportion. We were wrong about uranium in Niger, but we were right about whether to go into Iraq. We were right about the big things, and the Democrats in the anti-war camp was wrong about the big things, and the American people are still with us. My compassionate statistics, which I'll cite in contrast to EJ's, 75% of the American people think the situation in Iraq is going either very or fairly well. 75% say the casualties now are to be expected. And so the political fallout of this will all be in the long run. Did Bush do the right thing about going into Iraq?
But, David, you can read so many different things in looking at those numbers, and each day brings news of yet another death or an injury in Iraq. And it seems like the U.S. is in a race against time. And with each passing day, I wonder if that window is closing, if they've lost the ability to convince the American public that they can quickly take control of the situation.
I'm not sure they need to convince them. 70% are on board. But this actually is an interesting long-term historical phenomenon. How willing are Americans to take casualties? And the perception among the elites, among Republicans and Democrats, has always been the Americans are incredibly unwilling to take casualties, and that's been the perception abroad. But if you look at the data, if you look at the data during Mogadishu, when we lost the soldiers there, and you look at the data right now, the American people seem incredibly willing to take casualties. We've, in some senses, overlearned the lessons of Vietnam, or at least taken Vietnam, which was a massive loss of casualties, and applied it to these smaller losses of troops. To me, this polling is consistent with the polling of the past several conflicts. The American people are willing to take casualties if they think it's an important mission, and in this case, they clearly do think that.
Well, right now it's July. We head into August, a time when many people sort of check out a little bit, shift down before we go back into the fall. If in September we're still seeing daily reports of injuries and casualties and chaos in Baghdad, EJ, does the situation begin to shift at that point?
Yes, and in fact, I think it's already shifted, because no matter what you say about Saddam Hussein being a terrible person, we all agree on that. And that's removed from the equation right now. The issue is, did the administration had a plan? If it did have one, what was it? And how could things turn out the way they are turning out? And I think when you have a situation like this, people in the administration have to keep explaining and explaining. And I was struck yesterday, this is Colin Powell in defense of the president and his use of this evidence in that State of the Union address. There was sufficient evidence floating around at the time, Colin Powell said, that such a statement was not totally outrageous. Now, I at least thought that in a State of the Union message, that when the president is making a case for war, the standard is higher than not totally outrageous, and the information is based more on than on stuff that's floating around. And I think that's why they are in some trouble right now.
Let me semi-agree. I think one of the things the Bush administration has not done over the past several weeks is had a coherent statement about what we're doing, the way forward. What they have to do is take all the evidence they're gathering from thousands of interviews and millions of documents now in Baghdad and put it all together into a 90-minute speech that Colin Powell can give And when he gives that speech, I suspect he will blow away all the current concerns. And the hue and cry the Democrats are raising right now will look small in, when all of that information, which is now being held secretly, is released to the public.
It will never look small as long as American troops are being shot at, and it will never look small as long as there are lots of military families saying, gee, we thought our guys were going to be able to come home. When are they going to be rotated out? The critique right now is not about Saddam Hussein. The critique is about the policy and how it's been run and what's happening in Iraq. And yes, if the president restores order there and things start working, then he'll be out of the woods to a large degree. I think some of these honesty questions will still be around. But if it continues like this, it's not small to ask about performance.
You're asking it to turn into Copenhagen. You know, it's going to be a mess there for our lifetimes. The question is whether the world is better off than it was before.
And all this happens at a time when the White House is considering yet another deployment, considering sending U.S. troops as peacekeepers in Liberia, with the country with all these problems. How could the president attempt to explain this to the American public that might be wondering, well, you know, maybe you should try to get the lights on in Baghdad first?
Well, this is fascinating because this issue divides in a completely different way politically. There are plenty of liberals who are in favor of this deployment because it's a humanitarian deployment. I think if the president decides to do it, the way he explains it is to say, look, we know that there, what happens when there are terribly failed states, they become the a place that breeds terrorists. We want to prevent that, and we have a kind of historical obligation to Liberia. Now, I think if he decides to do it, I think he's going to try to give as much responsibility to African forces on the ground as Colin Powell said recently.
This is a great argument for never having a doctrine and not trying to be consistent. You do it if you can do it and if the situation is right. We are now overstretched in Baghdad, clearly, and I think there's some humanitarian good to be done in Liberia if there was a place you could station troops, you know, amidst the chaos, which I suspect there is not. But you don't have any preset idea, we go in if situation X, Y, and Z is met. You do it on a case-by-case basis. And to me, at the moment, Liberia is not a good place for sending large amounts of troops because of the commitments we already have.
All right. Always good to talk to both of you.
Great to be with you.
Good to be here.
David Brooks is a senior editor at the Weekly Standard, and E.J. Dionne is a columnist with the Washington Post and also with the Brookings Institution.